Yeah, I'm a compulsive overeater. My name is Eric. Thank you so much for inviting me in to be of service tonight. I have 142 days abstinence at the moment, and it's all due to the grace of God and my higher power and you guys. If it wasn't for meetings, I couldn't re like relate to you. You know what I mean? I couldn't relate to having this disease. It was, I'm grateful that I've been, this is an outside issue. I'm also sober from alcohol and drugs, but that's what gave me the spiritual awakening and the willingness to even admit I was powerless over food, right? And my life is unmanageable around it. And so it's been a process. About 3 years ago, I jumped into this into Overeaters Anonymous, and about a year after that, I jumped back out, and I thought I could manage my life again, and that didn't work. I got gain weight again and all the craziness that I did. And I just am grateful now I'm back in it, and I have a sponsor and I work the steps. And a little bit of qualifying for me is, like, I've been a compulsive overeater since probably age about, I don't know, five, four or five. I remember stealing money out of my mom's purse and going to 7-Eleven and going to purchase, all the different things on the menu there. And then going outside with my buddies and sharing it and thinking that I became popular all of a sudden because I had all this stuff, right? And it tasted so good, right? We tasted every little thing we could, salty to sweet to whatever else we wanted. And eventually I ended up, stealing it when I was younger. My family always, I felt like my family always fed me to love me. And that was a tough one for me. I was always, I always felt love through food. And it really, it was always like a big plate in the middle of the table. And it was like, eat up, and everybody enjoy. And it was good to, it was good, but it also, I didn't know when to stop. I learned early on that, just fill up, and just keep going until you didn't want to go anymore. And even then, and sometimes I'd go even afterwards, right? And it progressed, right? It progressed to stealing stuff, to moving up, to, like, even after a dinner, I would go in dessert and everything else. I would still get something else and go upstairs and go to my room or isolate or go out and get something else. I remember stealing money to buy, like, some type of food, and then hiding the box, taking stuff out of the garbage, playing the salty and sweet game, just all these insane things that I used to do. And it brought me up to about 318 pounds, and that really made me, miserable and not feeling good. I felt really out of my mind and uncontrollable. I have one picture that I'd like to share from a long time ago. That's me in the middle. That's with my relatives that are no longer here. And I looked really happy there, but I really wasn't. I was miserable. I mean, I had a big old gut, and I could barely, I just always just did not enjoy I enjoyed the eating at the moment, but I didn't enjoy my life. I was very, my life was very unmanageable. It included drugs and alcohol at that time, but it took me, let's see, about 9 years into recovery from that to really understand that I needed a spiritual program around food, because it was my first addiction. Bottom line, food is my first addiction, and I completely struggle with it. And it creates cravings just like the alcohol and the drugs did. So fast forward, I had a counselor in about 5 years into my recovery from that other stuff. She told me, "Why don't you try OA?" And I was like, "Nah, I don't want to try that. I don't think it's gonna work." And it took me about 4 years to process that and to finally surrender and come into the rooms of OA and finally connect with you guys and realize that I'm a compulsive overeater. And I never even knew what those words were before I stepped into the rooms and started listening to you, started being of service. I had a sponsor at that time. I didn't feel connected to him really. I felt very, it felt very much so like a diet or like a, I don't know, just a duty I had to do, to get to lose weight again. And then I gritted my teeth for about a year through it. And then I sort of just backed off again and didn't go to meetings. And I decided to not do the things that you guys do to stay, recovered from compulsive overeating. So, so my journey basically is a little bit of a relapse, but coming back into the rooms this time, I was able to find a sponsor that showed me a lot of love and compassion. I did not. I'm not a very compassionate guy. I'm not a very. I think I'm one of the worst people on earth sometimes. I can't love myself, and I always heard this in the rooms, like, we'll love you until you can love yourself. And I feel I've gotten to that point now that I can love myself, that I can love others too. I know when I started going through the steps, I remember my sponsor said the first step's the most important step, and the principle behind that step is honesty. And I could never be honest. That was one of my biggest character defects. I remember when I did my original four step, dishonesty was like the blaring thing on that thing, on that four step. And I just knew that, man, I need to start getting honest. I needed to start getting real. And so for me, what honesty, rigorous honesty looks like is surrendering my food plan to my sponsor on a daily basis. Working the steps with him on a weekly basis and going to about 3 to 4 meetings a week. I also do, how to do 90 and 90 at the beginning, to really get me into the program again and to start getting that spiritual awakening again. And I'm grateful that my sponsor took me through the steps fairly quickly because I've done it before, right? In another program, but that isn't the credits don't transfer. I always like when they say that the credits don't transfer, and it's so true in my case. I need to continue to work this program ar around the 12 steps around my compulsive overeating. The compulsive overeating is so much more different than the other stuff, just because I have to eat. I don't have to drink alcohol or do drugs. I have to eat. And so for me, also, it required me surrendering to the fact that I can't eat sugar and flour. Because as soon as I put that sugar and flour in my body, this craving starts, right? And then what happens then is the mental obsession. And when I have that mental obsession, I cannot, I don't really know what I don't know where I'm going to go from there on, right? That mental obsession, everything goes out the window. I start going, oh, I can do that, or oh, I can do this, and I can start rationalizing. And that gets me in a really slippery slope in a really, really bad spot. So, for me, it was surrendering for about a week or two, that food plan, getting sort of getting an abstinence around that, defining what my abstinence was, 3 meals a day, nothing in between. Try to exercise 3 to 4 times a week. At least I can be a compulsive overexerciser too, I need to, be able to like be honest about stuff like that, and so as I continue to work through this program, step two gave me hope. I was able to have some hope around that. I held on. I like the acronym for hope is hold on, pain ends. And I just was able to like hold on to like what my sponsor was saying, the consistency of my sponsor, hearing him in meetings, hearing other people in the meetings, and giving me that hope. I really enjoyed that. And step three was faith. The spiritual principle behind step three is faith, and that really gave me a lot of I just was, I had to create that faith by like doing the next things, the next right thing, and going to 90 and 90 in meetings, that was very helpful for me. When I did that, I felt like I felt connected to you guys. I started building some fellowship. I started getting numbers. I tried to call two overeaters a day, if not other people in recovery, just because it was a great tool. The nine tools of OA has been a great resource for me to go back to, because this disease of addiction in general is a disease of forgetfulness. I forget how sick I was. I forget how bad the disease was. And so I need to continue to remind myself that this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And I need to continue to have the courage to move forward. And that's where step four came in the spiritual principle behind that was courage. I was able to put pen to paper, write down what I did in the past, and then I was able to share that with a sponsor, and that created integrity, right? I was able to share the things that I did in the past, and I was just so like, I was shameful about them, but it felt so good too. It was amazing. Like I could actually let go and let God at that point, And so step six was willingness. These character defects that came up in my life, I got to be willing to let them go and be able to just admit that I have these things. And then in step seven, I need the humility, right? To ask God for help and ask you guys for help too. And I get a lot of help from you guys by just the way you share and the way you guys live your lives, right? I'm able to like go, oh, wow, I never thought that. When I hear you guys in the meetings and somebody tells me about their food plan or their plan of eating, right? I go, oh, wow, I didn't even ever think of that. So, I keep learning. And that's the definition of humility for me is actually remaining teachable. I got to remain teachable, because if I'm not teachable, I get that pride and I'm gonna cut you out and that's it. I'm done. I'm going back to my own sinful ways. And step eight is self-discipline, right? I had to like make that list and go, oh man, I owe these people an apology. And that's what step nine is. The spiritual principle behind step nine is love. And to truly love somebody, I need to make amends to them and then show that I want to continue to have their relationship in my life by doing the next right thing and being loving and kind. It says in the big book that love and tolerance is our code. And I think some of the toughest things to do is to tolerate people when I think I'm being wronged by them. And that can be so challenging, but when I do that, it's so rewarding because we build our relationship with each other. Step 10, comes into play now. Now that we're past step nine, when I was past step nine, it's step 10, 11, and 12, right? That's the basically that's basically like the steps that are the maintenance steps. And the spiritual principle behind step 10 is perseverance. And that is tough for me. I don't always want to persevere. I don't always want to deal with my feelings. I don't always want to take the list and make amends. Step 11 is spiritual awareness, and I got to keep reaching out to my higher power through prayer and meditation. And I'm so grateful for the tools that I've been given in this program and through my spiritual community. They've given me many opportunities to like do to like learn how to become spirit, connect to my higher power. And the final spiritual principle is service. Being a service has been so rewarding in my life. I don't only have to be of service in these rooms, but I can be of service outside these rooms. And being of service today on the meeting is like really rewarding for me, because it reminds me like I'm still a compulsive overeater and I need to keep coming back I can't give up on myself. I can't give up. I can't let this disease block me from the sunlight of the spirit. And so, I'm just looking forward to continuing to be of service through whether it's on meetings, whether it's with my family, whether it's like in the community, being a sponsor too. I haven't had an opportunity to be a sponsor in OA yet, and I've done it in my other program, but I know that that is a huge need for many people, for many people here. And it's scary to have to ask somebody to be your sponsor and to do the things that they ask you to do. And that's true humility, I think. When we like go, all right, I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't got what I really want out of this program, and I need to like totally surrender to the fact that you know better than I do. And that lets my guard down. That makes me vulnerable, and I don't like that feeling. I don't like being vulnerable to people that I don't always know. And I don't know if they're gonna, help me. I think I need to remind myself that the GOD is like, a group of drunks. That's what I used to call it when I was in AA, and that helped me a lot. But then, it's good orderly direction. I need to remind myself that GOD is good orderly direction. It really like gives me, when I'm listening to my sponsor and we're rapping back and forth about the steps, or now we're on the traditions, it makes me realize that like, oh, I can't do this alone. I need to be right sized, and I need to remind myself that this is a we program. This is not an I program. I always think it's a me program, right? I'm always like, oh, I can do this. Oh, I can do the diet plan. Oh, I just needed to fill out my stuff in the app and just follow what I want to do, what it says there. And that's not true. I need somebody I can be honest with, I can go to. I'm so grateful for my sponsor because he's shown me a lot of love and tolerance. I ditched him at one time. I remember when we first got together, he sent me a book, and I all of a sudden just vanished. I vanished, and it was really humbling to come back to the meeting and to ask for help again. But I'm learning. I'm in a process of learning, and I need to continue to learn, because if I don't learn, I'm dying. I'm not growing. I'm just here hovering around, not really doing the deal. So I need to continue to learn, and definitely looking for sponsees. If anybody would like to reach out to me, my number's there on the square, the Hollywood Square of fame here. And just feel free. I would love to talk to you. And so, I'm gonna end my share with that, but I really am grateful for being of service today. And thank you, Matt, for having me share tonight. Thank you.